Ladies and gents, welcome to the Crazy Ike Fan Podcast. Of course, I'm your host, Teddy. No matter where you are, thanks for making this part of your day. Thanks for taking a listen. Follow me across social media, at Crazy Ike Fan on Instagram and on X, Crazy Ike Fan Facebook page. What is going on, Ike, to this? Long time no talk. Sorry, just life's been just kind of hectic and busy the past couple weeks. I didn't live up to my promise of delivering a European preview last week, as I said. Just could not get around to it between work and school being back in session here. Kids bringing home all kinds of germs. It hasn't been a fun time around my house. But anyways, enough of that. Let's get on with it. Let's talk about our favorite team, the Bicéfalo. First things first, let's talk about some news. Vida is going to be out, at least for the match against Brighton, this midweek European fixture. Ike getting back into the swing of things with European football. Of course, we'll discuss that a little bit later. Ike signs Alexander Collins, Peruvian international. He's on loan from Girona in Spain. Also played, for those of you that watch MLS, also played for NYCFC for quite a few seasons. I think it's a good pickup. Were we waiting for something a little bit better, especially since they spent all this time from May till now, just a few weeks ago, to sign a center back? Maybe. Not going to lie. Also, in other news, Garcia most likely is going to miss the match with Brighton, but be ready to go against the big derby against Panathinaikos on Monday. Of course, Mandalos didn't play this weekend. Gacinovic, though, on the other hand, good news. They're saying he is match fit. He fully practiced today and yesterday, so he should be fully fit and ready to go for Brighton, but we'll see what happens. Let's get into this topic. Ike versus Olympiacos. The match finished 1-1. Draw, both teams pick up a point. So the biggest winners of the weekend, obviously, are Panathinaikos, even though it's early on in the season. They gained two more points on both Ike and Olympiacos. So let's start. First half. Ike were in control since the beginning. The first 20-25 minutes, Ike looked like the old Ike from last season. Possession, forcing Olympiacos into their own half. You barely saw Olympiacos come out of the past the center line in a lot of those first 25 minutes. I wouldn't say they were bombarding Olympiacos, but Ike were creating chances. A great Paskalakis, for example, on two occasions, made two incredible saves. I think the save of the Zuber, the shot that Zuber had, the way the ball bounced, was really a tremendous save. I mean, Paskalakis shows his class. I mean, look, I call it like it is. You got to give credit where credit's due. And then on the Mohammadi header, just a little bit of luck, a little bit of fast reflexes as you need in your goalkeeper, was able to send the ball out for a corner kick. But I kept pushing and pushing and pushing. Finally, they broke through. I don't remember if the play, I guess it happened before we opened the scoring, where there was initially a penalty called by the Portuguese referee, and it was taken back. Let me give my thoughts on that for a minute, because I know it's been a hot topic across social media and across Greek radio. And I think a lot of talking heads in Greece talked about the one play specifically, the second so-called foul, the one where the referee actually gave the penalty, where Kini, Olympiacos, the Olympiacos defender, took down Rota. That, back in the day, I feel like would have definitely been given a penalty without VAR, and that's why the referee gave it. Looking back on it, I don't think that was so much of a penalty. Earlier, Eliasson, when Kenny tackled Eliasson, Now, I don't know how VAR works. I don't know if they looked at that and then told him, you know, there was no penalty there. If they specifically had to look at that one play where the penalty was called, I'm not sure. I'm sure they look at everything. I could take it or leave it. Look, it's in some senses it's called a penalty. In some cases, it's not called a penalty. As we've talked about on this podcast before, officiating these days is subjective. What's a handball is subjective. I don't know. Like, take it or leave it. I'm not going to blame the refs, the Zebras, for this, the outcome of this match, at least. The first 25 minutes, like I said, Ike pressed. And then Rota, I have to talk about Rota for just a second. Rota, for me, was the MVP of this match for Ike. He did great things in the on the pitch. He he's upped his game. You could tell he's been working on crossing, been working on where his movement should be on the pitch, like where is his kinimata puslenes, talinika, like in what places to move along the pitch. The move that he made, the tripla that he did inside the box to pass the ball and for Ponce to get on the end of it, brilliant. It was a brilliant, I mean, that goal should have been given to Rota. I mean, I think I was really impressed with him this weekend. And you know, he's a solid player. He's turned into a solid player for Ike. As we've always talked about him, he needs to improve in certain things. He needs to improve his shot accuracy, his crossing ability a little bit. But I think as far as defending and the sprint that he has, the ability to get up and down the pitch, I think he's great in. Just really impressed, especially by that assist. And Ponce opens up his scoring for Ike. I hope this is the first of many. I hope this, sometimes as a striker, we all know they need confidence. As soon as they start putting the ball in the back of the net, maybe this will help him out a little bit. Maybe it's helped him that he's had a few more practices with the team, a little bit more time to work with the team. But it shows that he has striker capabilities, of course. Your movement, your placement, and your know-how about where to be at the right time as a striker is very key. And the fact that he was able to keep it onside. Because honestly, at first glance, and then when they played the first replay, I was like, crap, man, this is going to be called back for offsides. Because I thought he was like a maybe just an inch, maybe just a step ahead of the defender there. Then it was going to be called offsides. But then as they showed the replay, he was clearly onside. And just to be able to make that type of movement, that just goes to show you the quality and the know-how of a striker, that he knows where he needs to be at the right time, which was great. Like I said, the first 25 minutes I controlled the game. Again, playing very, very well, showing us shades of what Ike was last year. And then for some reason, after they scored, it's like they let the gas off the pedal. Like, you know, even the announcer said at one point, talking to the sideline reporter was overhearing the Ike bench talk about Almeida, was telling the players, why are you guys letting up? Why, like, press more, gain more possession of the ball? They were leaving Olympiacos with plenty of possession. They were leaving Olympiacos with, I felt like, a little bit too much space, especially for Fortuny was Olympiacos' standout player, in my opinion. Just every time, you know, because he can create. He can get the ball and he can create. He can make a good pass. He can get by you. He can shoot. I don't understand why in the second half of the pitch, why sometimes I felt like Fortuny, unguarded, was getting close to Ike's box in the area. Just giving him way too much space to work with. I felt like they should have closed him down earlier. The goal was a great goal. It was eerily similar to what Rota and Ponce were able to do. Big ups to the Olympiacos player that scored. I keep wanting to say Alarambi, but I forget what's the guy's name. I know I wrote it down. I can't pronounce it. But big ups to him to show the symbol of the M afterwards for Mihaly. Mad respect for that, you know. But I didn't understand why we're giving possession away. I felt like we had them on the ropes, especially. I mean, it should have at least been 2-0 those first 25 minutes. Now, on the other hand, the second part of the second half, the last 15, 20 minutes or so, totally belonged to Olympiacos. Olympiacos had the possession. They had a few other opportunities. Stankovic did very well to put to send Masuda's shot to be a corner kick. He did very, very well there. I didn't understand why you had this game in control. Why not push to get a second goal? Especially in the shape that this Olympiacos team is in. And I know a lot of my friends that I talked to over the weekend, Cafe Nio, family barbecue that I went to, that I talked to some Olympiacos fans. Some of them would not say, some of them would never like to say that Olympiacos is in a rebuild mode or rebuild gear. I think this is a rebuild gear, and I think most of you would probably agree. Maybe some of you that are Olympiacos fans that are listening out there. But they're not as strong as they were. They're still, they have a lot of talent. As we saw, there's still a team becoming a team is the point that I'm trying to make. And I think if you put two past them at this point, you're probably 85-90% in victory mode. You know, football's football and anything can happen, but I just didn't understand that. I didn't understand the let up. And again, it makes you sad that this team, in most matches, I think in all but one so far this season, out of what, 7-8 matches, we've conceded in the first half. Which is, it's still troubling. I'm not going to say that the defense was that bad. Mukwudi, sometimes for my liking, especially around dangerous teams, for him to, and I get it, the guy's got great footwork. He's great with his feet. But at one point, you're going to make a mistake. And all you need, I mean, when you have three or four Olympiacos players around you and you're doing triples to get away from them and to pass the ball out, and I get it, it's nice to see a footballer have confidence in themselves, but at the same time, it's also very frustrating because you're like one mistake there and it's basically a half goal. It's Misiev Kiriyov was on the side. So kind of makes you nervous a little bit. Last year, as I've said before, it seemed like the defense was bend but don't break. But now it's like you just put yourself in a bad position, I feel like. And hopefully I can improve on this going forward. Defensively, like I said, Vida, let's move on to the second half. Vida had to come out. Στην υγειά σας, παιδιά, κάτι επιθυμείτε. Vida had to go out. He had been struggling with some type of rib injury and was playing through pain in the first half, and then just the beginning of the second half decided that he couldn't go, so Mitoglou came in, which made me a little nervous, not because of Mitoglou, because I'm like, here we go. If he makes a mistake in this big game, then we're not going to give him other opportunities, which Mitoglou is very talented. Like I said, I think Mitoglou and Mukwudi are the future going forward. Hopefully, they can become a good center-back pairing. It'd be great for them to be the center-back pairing for Ike's future, in my opinion. And I also like the way that Mitoglou can play well with his legs also. Like Mukwudi, but in a different way. We saw a couple of really good long balls from Mitoglou that I think is very key, and especially in the Greek league when you're able to do that and try to get players behind defense, especially speedy players that Ike has up front, can be a very good thing, can be a very promising thing for Ike going into the future. Not much to say about the second half. I feel like after the 75th minute, you could kind of tell Olympiacos kind of dialed that back a little bit. I know there's been a lot of controversy in the media because I think Karapapa came out and said something the other day along the lines of Olympiacos doesn't play for ties and we don't play for a tie. Dude, come on. We all know football by now. Like, your team was playing for a tie. Yes, don't get me wrong, that I think Olympiacos still at times tried to counter, tried to press the Ike defense, especially when the Ike defense was playing a little bit high. Excuse me. And Olympiacos' manager decided to throw in players like Scarpa and a few other players to kind of catch Ike, you know, on the counter a little bit. Like, we're unlucky, and that I think that's been the theme of this season so far and why it's been frustrating. A, I get the going through with Dinamo Zagreb was big, but other than that, I mean, this team has not gotten a great victory. This team has not, they didn't look sharp against Panathinaikos, obviously. We can't get, you know, when I was younger, and not to kind of get off topic here, and I think I've said this before in the podcast, I believed in hard work. I still believe in hard work. I didn't believe in luck so much. But now getting older, seeing things a little bit differently, seeing the way the world is shaped around you, you got to have a little bit of luck. And I think I had luck last year. That was something that was going for us. And I'll give you guys some examples. This year, I feel like that's just not happening. Having Levy Garcia, who is a vital part of your offensive attack, be out for so long. First, unlucky. Yes, injuries will happen, but unlucky there. Then as far on the pitch, I mean, you know, a few centimeters make such a big difference. Case in point, two very specific examples. The one where VAR checked for a handball on the defender again for Libekos Kini, where, you know, a few centimeters the other way and it's a handball. On the reverse, Pineda, that beautiful move that he did to get away from the defense and find that Araujo. And Araujo was able to put the ball in the back of the net. Beautiful goal by Araujo that was disallowed because of a handball. The way the ball came down, I mean, if the ball had just come down a few centimeters inward and he was able to hit it with his chest, we're talking about maybe a completely different outcome here. We're talking about Ike moving on, getting the other 2 points and moving on and getting a victory. And I get it. This match was important for Ike. First derby of the season. Whatever the statistic is, we still have yet to beat Olympiacos in a regular season home game since, what, the 17-18 season. Going on 5-6 years now. It's been a long time. You know, regular season, we beat them in the playoffs, blah, 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 all that jazz. You guys know what I'm talking about. Sorry, guys, I'm getting over a cold here. But I think that's been the biggest thing for Ike, is that we just don't seem to have that little bit of luck that we had last year. And it's kind of getting, you know, frustrating for us as fans. For me personally, it's getting a little frustrating because you see this team working hard and you know how good this team is. This team has a lot of quality. The manager is phenomenal. Like, we're, again, luck. We were so lucky to be able to land Almeida, to land him when we did, that he chose to come to Europe and go manage this club. I mean, and to do something that had never been done last year in Ike's history, in the first year of a manager to win the domestic double. I mean, you know, and that's still awesome. By the way, I'm drinking a diplo de opera, double, it was Dablucus, double Elenico. But I don't know, man. I think I'm going to pose that question to Twitter and to the Spotify site where you can answer questions. Get at me, Ike fans. Let me know what you guys think. What's missing from this team? Is it a big win? Do we finally need a big win? But I think 1-1 was a fair result with the way the teams played. Because honestly, that the first half, the 25th minute to probably halftime, Olympiacos were the better side. They leveled things out. Ike were a better side the first 25 to almost 30 minutes of the match. And then in the second half, I think the teams had their moments to steal the match. But, you know, it just didn't happen. Zini, again, was a bright spot for Ike. Eliasson played very well. I mean, he wreaked havoc on that on the left side of Olympiacos' defense. He played particularly well. And honestly, another reason, guys, why I didn't do a preview pod last week was not only because I didn't get a chance to watch our European opponents. I especially wanted to watch Brighton versus Man U. I might watch it for my own personal, you know, just to be able to watch it, to see what to expect from Brighton, who are flying high right now. they're high up on the table in the Premier League. They're coming off of a 4-1 win at Old Trafford. to take that into the context of Greek football, that's like, nah, I wouldn't even say Atromitos. I don't even know what team to compare Brighton to. To go into, to come into Ayia Sofia, for example, not that I'm comparing Ike to Man United, but there's no other comparison. Or Olympiacos, if you like, if they go into Karaiskaki, some team like Ποια ομάδα να πούμε ρε παιδιά. I mean, I don't know. Would you put them on the level of, I wouldn't even put them on the level of Tripoli. This is their first time in their history that they're playing European football. So it's pretty incredible. Even though those of you that follow the Premier League know that Man United hasn't been at their best lately. Before that, they beat Newcastle 3-1. They're still winning. They're still putting the ball in the back of the net. The Irish international, Evan Ferguson, has been on fire. Tough match for Ike. But again, I'm starting to become a little more optimistic with our chances in Europe, especially when you look at the form of Marseille and Ajax. They both domestically have not looked good. Marseille just has not looked good since, honestly, falling out of Europe. That really put a hurting on them that Panathinaikos was able to knock them out of Europe. So I'm optimistic about our chances. I'm not going to say the old attack that we used to say, the old, what we used to say as Greek fans, especially way back in the day when Greek clubs used to be in these great European fixtures. You know, I know, like, someone might counter me and say, what the hell are you talking about? How can you call a match against Brighton a great European fixture, man? Like, they're not a great European team with Yeah, true, they don't have the pedigree of being in Europe, but right now, they're a very well-informed team in the best league in the world, my opinion. And they're a very informed team, and they're an English team. Historically, Greeks have struggled against English teams, especially in England. But back in the day, I remember we used to say this thing like, you go to Barcelona, you go to Real, mi fama que polada pedia. Let's not embarrass ourselves. I don't feel like that at all. Would I be surprised if the score ends up being 3-0 in Brighton's favor? Yeah. It would kind of surprise me, but I don't think Ike is going to play terrible. I think Ike's going to go do whatever they can do and whatever, you know. You're gonna look at the calendar and say, this is going to be a loss. This is the way I look at it as a fan. I'm not saying the team looks at it this way. But you could say, okay, that's going to be a very hard task to go to England and to beat Brighton. You can mark that down as an L. On the flip side, whatever you're able to gain, if you're able to get a point, that's fantastic. If you're able to get 3 points, I'll be through the moon. I might actually even make a video podcast if we do that. Not to hype up Brighton so much, but, you know, it's going to be a difficult game for Ike to gain anything from. So I think any showing, and even to play decent football, I mean, even if you do lose 3 or 4-0, if you're playing decent football, that's all I want to see, man. I want to see this team go out and try, and which I'm excited to see. Even though we've seen them in qualifiers, we haven't seen Almeida's team in a group stage, which things are different. You tend to play a little more closed, a little more. You tend to watch your back lines a little more when you're playing in qualifiers or knockout phases than you are in the actual group stage. Again, I do think right now, looking at the group, that Ike are probably going to end up finishing fourth. But let's see what happens. Again, use the notes on that. Gacinovic is going to be match ready, which is great. Garcia most likely won't be available. And we'll see what kind of shakeup Almeida does to the lineup. Now, one thing that's really going to suck is obviously Alexander Collins is not available for European fixtures. He's not on the European list. So we're down to two center backs. So, knock on wood, keeping fingers crossed, if something happens to Mukudi or Mitoglou, I could be in a little bit of trouble. You know, some Greek reporters have talked about that. Maybe Mohammadi could come in and play center back. Szymanski, I know Hadzi Safi has played center back at some point before. I don't think he's played for center back for Ike, but I know in his career he's played center back. Hopefully that doesn't happen though. Excited about these European fixtures. You know, talking about it, getting back on the podcast is getting me excited about this club again. I don't know what it's been this year. I don't know if it's been the lack of luck, the lack of a big victory. Just can't seem to really put my finger on what it is about this club that I shouldn't be disappointed. All right, and this is my own personal opinion here. I'm not going to say that I'm disappointed about what's happening, but it's like, we can't catch a break. Like, okay, yeah, we didn't make it to the Champions League. We had a great opportunity to make it to the Champions League. I was bummed. I honestly was bummed. I'm sure all Ike fans across the globe were bummed about not making it to the group stage, especially after an opponent like Antwerp, not to take anything away from them, but not to kind of bring up previous history here and stuff that I've talked about, but it bummed me out that we went out on a team against Antwerp that I felt like we were better than, and we just were not able to get the results that we needed to go through. And then on top of that, to start to get excited about, okay, whatever, like a day after, you're like, okay, we didn't make the Champions League, but damn, we're in the Europa League. You know, we can at least get third place in that, maybe drop down in the Conference League and do some damage. And then you see the freaking group stage get drawn and you're like, WTF, like literally what in the God loving, you know, what is going on here? Like, this looks like literally a Champions League freaking group. But we got to stay optimistic. We got to stay strong, Ike fans. I'll be back, hopefully, after the Brighton Ike game. Everybody enjoy the football this weekend. Not a long podcast today. Not much to say. And the reason why I didn't do a preview pod, I think I was briefly going to get into this, is with the Olympiacos match especially. I had some people reach out and they were like, oh, you didn't do a preview pod on Ike Olympiacos and blah, blah, blah. Honestly, and like I answered these people, and I appreciate all you listeners. Let me plug this in right here, shameless plug. Please, if you can, rate the podcast wherever you can. Leave a review wherever you can, even if it's not good. A review is better than nothing. You know, hit a like button on some of these platforms. I know they have like buttons, or follow me on the Spotify. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. You guys are what keep me motivated. You guys are what, you guys are why I'm doing this. I don't just do this for myself. I'm not a very outgoing person. Publicly outgoing person, I should say. I'm an outgoing person, like, privately in my family with my friends. People, quite frankly, that have caught on, especially in my community here, that I do a podcast, they kind of double take. They're like, you do a podcast? Really? Anyway, but what I was going to get into before that is the reason why I didn't do a preview pod, and I didn't get to get back to a few people that messaged me about why didn't I do a podcast last week, was everything all right? Quite simply because I haven't seen Olympiacos that much, and Olympiacos is so changed that there wasn't much that I could say about the game coming, because I didn't know. I was curious myself, how's Olympiacos going to play? What formation are they going to play? Some of these new players they have, they've turned over their roster a little bit. Like, Olympiacos is Olympiacos. We know it's a huge rival. We know that they're the team you need to always, in Greek football, dethrone. Not this year, but they're always the team they're your biggest competitor in the Greek Super League. But I just did not know. And I think Olympiacos fans that I talked to before the match said the same thing, not about Ike, but they hadn't really been tested this season so far. They hadn't really played anybody really good. This was going to be the first big test for Olympiacos this season. So now that we've seen them play, they're building something. They're not the same Olympiacos team of. They're better than last year. A lot more organized than last year. They looked better. They looked like they're going to get better and better and dangerous. And it's going to be a very interesting year in the Greek Super League. I'll have more to say again even talking preview against Panathinaikos on Monday. Have watched Panathinaikos against Marseille. I just haven't had time to really sit down and watch every team individually to come up with my own opinion on, to give my own perspective on how they're going to shape up against Ike. Because I've seen a little bit of each team here and there. Like before the Ike Olympiacos game for about 20, 25 minutes, I watched Addis Balk. Could not tell you any takeaways from that, honestly. You know, if probably in Europe, the same time Ike are playing, some other Greek team's going to be playing. Olympiacos might be playing at the same time, or Panathinaikos might be playing at the same time. So it's been hard for me to match up my schedule to where I can catch some of the names of most of our other opponents and contenders and other Greek Super League teams in general. So that's why it's been hard for me to kind of come up with a preview pod. Not that I really feel like I need to explain myself in depth, but there you go. I will look more into the basketball team. Of course, we had a loss in the handball yesterday in the Super Cup. I watched a little bit of that. Heartbreaking. Ike lost by a goal to Olympiacos. Was hoping that was going to be our first trophy of the season in the Ike sports world. But anyway, guys, that's all I have for today. Hope everyone has a good weekend. Let's enjoy this match. Let's enjoy this, hopefully. Just enjoy the football. Just enjoy Ike versus Brighton. You know, enjoy. Just enjoy it. No matter what happens. Forza Ikara Yapanda. And I'll talk to you guys later on in the week.